we've done in Perek Zion in Divrei Hayamim Aleph. So we've already done these Shvatim. We did Yisachar, we did Binyamin, we did Naphtali, we did the other half of Menashe, because we mentioned in one half before, we did Ephraim. Now we're up to Asher over here. Bnei Asher, the sons of Asher are Yimna, Yishva, Yishvi, Bria, Serach, Achosam. The same thing in the Torah mentioned Serach, even though Serach may not have been the daughter of Asher, right? It may have been the stepdaughter. Bnei Bria, Chevro, Malkiyo, Hu Avi, Birzoyis, the father of Birzoyis. It could be that Birzoyis is a city, and that's what it's referring to over here, right? Bar Zayis is what the Gemara learns over here. The Medrash says that the daughters of Asher were very beautiful. They used olive oil to beautify their bodies and to make them look very, very smooth, etc. They were anointed with olive oil, so therefore their children were very, very beautiful. That's what it means, Avi Birzoyis, that he was the founder of the Birzoyis, whatever you want to call it over here. V'chever hold it as Yaflev, as Shomer, as Chosem, as Shua, Achosam, which is also interesting. Shua is a name that's used for a man and a woman. Shua, without an aleph, is the name of the friend of Yehuda. Shua over here with an aleph is apparently the name of a girl. B'nei Yaflet, Pasol Vimhal Va'ash Vos, Ela B'nei Yaflet, B'nei Shomer, Achi, I don't remember what this refers to over here. What's the wording? Oh, the Ruga, the Chuba, the Aram. Ben Halem Achiv, Tzofach, V'yimna, V'shelesh, V'amal, B'nei Tzofach, Suach, V'charnefes, V'shul, U'beri, V'yimra. Betzer V'hoid, V'shama, V'sholsha, V'yisron, V'eira, U'b'nei Yeser, Yefune, U'fispa, right by Arov, v'nei Ula, Orach v'chaniyot v'ritzia, Kol v'nei Asher Rashi b'yaza Avos Berurim Gibori Chayolim. They're very strong people, right over there. Hanisim, there were princes v'yisachsom batzavah l'mochama. They were well known, right, in their wars. Misparam Anashim Esther Mishish Alef. They were all together 26,000 people that went out to war together with everybody else out there. Pretty amazing the amount of people from Asher itself. Now, we're going to now go into, now that we mentioned almost all of the Shvatim, obviously there's some of them that we don't know anything at all, right? I don't think we mentioned Shevet Dan at all. Did we mention Shevet Dan? We didn't. It was just like hinted to in the word Acher, right? And that was that. So there's certain, but whatever it is. But we're done with all the Shvatim. And Parakas, now we're going to go into Sholom Alech's genealogy. We're going to go into what he has. Binyamin, hold it, is Belah, Bechoro, Ashbel, Hasheni. Ashbel was the second. Achrach, the third. Nocha was the fourth. The Rafa, Hachamishi, over here. So now, all of these over here, when we go into all of these people, it seems that this is the children and the grandchildren. These are not kids of Binyamin, or at least not those that we see in the Torah itself. It seemed like first generation was Bela, then comes Ashbel, then Achrach. Now, it could be that it's just referring to all the different things of, you know, the different names that we wanted to give to the different people based on what they did. We just don't know what that is. We don't know if that's referring to anything else. Bayu Banim LeBela, Adar VeGera VaAviud. There were other sons of Bela, and these were Adar and Gera and Aviud. VaAvishua VeNaman VaAchoach VeGera Ushvufam VeChura. Churam. Ve'Ela Ben Ehud. And here's the sons of Ehud over here. Who is Ehud? Ehud, right, is what we just said. Ehud was, where was Ehud? Ehud we mentioned up above. Okay, he was mentioned above. Elohim Rashi Avos Leoshvi Geva. Bayaglum El Manachas. They went all the way to Manachas. V'naman v'achiyah v'gera hu aglum. V'holid v'zuza v'asechichud. V'shacharayim holid v'stei moav. Min shocho osam chushim v'es bara nashav. Right, after he divorced Chushim and Bara, his wives, I guess he had children when he moved over to the land of Moab. You hope that it wasn't there, but it's interesting. Some say that he remarried his own wives. He had Chushim and Bara, his wives, and then he remarried them after he divorced them altogether. Okay, so we have this. Vayolamin Chodesh Ishtai, right, he gave birth to, from, I guess you can say, by Chodesh, his wife. He gave birth to Yovav, Tzivya, Mesha, and Malcolm. Yeutz, Sachya, Mirma, Elaban of Rashi Avos. Mechushim, right, from the wife named Chushim. Again, once again, Chushim is a female name, and it's also a male name, because Chushim ben Dan. Hol Zavitu Vesal Pa'al. Bnei Pa'al, Avro Misha Mashamed, who bonas, you know, he built up Onaves, Lod, Ubnosa. Now, Lod is the city that we all know of as the city where the airport is in Eretz Yisrael. So Lod would have been that way as well. Berea, Beshama Ahim Rosh Avos, Liosha Ayalon, the people of Ayalon, Himehiv Richos, Yosha Gas, they chased out the people of Gas itself. Achio Shoshak vi Remus, Zvadiv Arad Vaoder, Michal Vishba Vyocha Bene Berea, Uzvadiv Mishul Machiski, Vachover Vishmerai, Vizlia, Vyova Bene El Pael, I'm sorry, Vyakim Vizik Vizabdi Veliani, Veliena, I'm sorry, Vitzils of Eliel. Badoyu Vroya, Vishimros, Bene Shimi, all those sons of Shimi. Okay. The Ishbam, the Abra Velio, the Avdom, the Zikri Bechon, the Hanani, the Elam, the Ansosia, the Yiftia, Upnuel, Bene Shoshak, those are the sons of Shoshak. And then it says, V'sham Sharai, Ushkaria, V'asalia, V'areshia, V'elia, V'zichr, V'nei Yerucham, Eila, Rosh Yavos, Lodos, and Rosh Yerushim, Eila, Yashu, V'sham. Those are the ones that lived in Yerushalayim. Remember, Binyamin did take up most of the area in Yerushalayim as well. Binyamin had a great desire for holiness. So it seems that most of the time the Mishkan was in his land. Not only the Mishkan, but obviously in Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash itself. Right, he wanted the Shekhinah to be in his territory. It's one of the things that Binyamin was Chasef Shachain. He had like the Shekhinah on his shoulders. Ubegivon Yashua Avi Givon, Shemesh Lo Macha, the name of his wife was Macha. Right, Ubenei Vachor, Avdon, Vetzur, Vekishu, Baal, Nadav. Ugdor, Vaachio, Vazacher, Umiklos, Holy to Shema, Vathema, Neged Achem, Yashua, Bishlam, Yimachem, Ner, Holy to Kish, Kish, Holy to Shaul. Right, so it says Vishol, Holy Zionas, Malkishuvasavinadavashbaal. So he gave birth to those three kids. He gave birth to Yehonasan, Malkishuavinadav, and Eshbaal. Those are the people that he gave birth to altogether. Now there's a lot over here. I've skipped quite a bit over here. First of all, when we say over here Elia, you saw that name Elia over here. Some say that this is a reference to Eliyahu Anavi. That Eliyahu Anavi is the one that we're referring to when we say Elia, and that Alya is his name, obviously, when you take away the Vav. There are five places in Tanakh where the word Eliyahu is spelled without the Vav, and this isn't mentioned as one of them, but it could be that it's a reference to him, and it's referring to him, and he's one. Now, the problem with that is that that means he's from Shevet Binyamin, right? That's a problem, because normally we say that Eliyahu Navi comes from either Shevet Gad, right? Hagiladi, Eliyahu Hagiladi, right? Or we say that he's a Kohen, and he's from Pinchas. He's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. It's the same person over there. So perhaps this all refers to him in some way, shape, or form, and that each one of these psukim are somehow referring to him and going into him over here. It's hard to go into this and to try to say anything when it comes to stuff like that. There is a medrash that goes into all these names, that Yareshia, Yerocham, is that he's going to have mercy, he's going to remember all the people and everything like that, and that's that. Regardless, we have absolutely no idea whether this really refers to him or not. Okay, we got into a guy by the name of Ner, right? And Ner was another son of Ye'iel, as we said above. He started Givon itself. And then he was the father of Kish, right? And that was the father of King Shaul itself. Now, the actual name of that person, of Ner, is Aviel. He was called Ner because he put up lamps in dark alleyways that people would have a place to sit, to walk, as well as in the Bati Midrashos. He sponsored all that. Maybe, you know, on Yom Kippur, they usually ask someone to sponsor Yaknahaz, right? Something like that, the Yayin, et cetera, for Kiddush Ner and Havdalah. There's somebody else who ends up sponsoring all the lights, all the lighting and everything like that. And that's a merit. That's a schus. That's why he became king. And that's a reflection of something right over there. So I would assume that he didn't want to put his name inside there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, listened to his prayers and put his name down as Ner instead of who he actually was, his actual name, Aviel. Either way, regardless, he had all those kids. Yehonasan, we know about. Makishuan and Vinadav also, unfortunately, they all died together with Shaul HaMelech in the war. Yehonasan, Makishua, and Avinadav. Eshbaal, that name is Ish-Boshes. Ishbaal. Eshbaal is Ish-Boshes. That's the reference to the king that took over for Shaul HaMelech when Shaul HaMelech died. Ben Yehonasan, the son of Yehonasan, was Meriv Baal. Meriv Baal was the fighter of Baal. This is a reference to Mephibosheth, who was a brilliant genius and a Rebbe of David HaMelech who fought, you know, everybody else in Torah learning. He was dropped when he was a kid, when they were running away, thinking that the Pelishtim were going to come to take over the land, and he lost the use of his legs. He was lame in some way, shape, or fashion. Ribal holidus micha, you give her to micha, b'nei micha, pison v'melech, v'sare v'achaz, v'achaz holidus yo'ada, v'yo'ada holidus alames, v'es azmoves, right? V'es zimri. V'zimri holidus mota, you give her to mota, mota holidus bina, rafa bino, elasa bino, Otzel bino, Otzel Shishabanim, he had six kids, Ve'elish Mosmaz Rikam, Bechoro, Vishmael, Usha'aria, Velvadi, Bechanan. Kol Ebene, also all those were the kids of Otzel, Ebene, Eshek, Achiv, Ulam, Bechoro, Yehusha, Sheni, Veli, Felatashlishi, Yubene, Ulam, Anashim, Gibori, Chayel, they were strong men, Dorche, Keshis, they used to pull on the string of, you know, the bows and arrows. Marbin, Banu, Ebene, Banu, they had a lot of kids and grandkids, Meva, Chamishim, altogether 150 Kol Ebene, Binyamin. All of them were the sons of Binyamin itself, and that's that. So there's a lot of stuff over here that obviously refers to anything. Unfortunately, once again, we were missing a bunch of different things on who these people were, and that's because we've lost Divrei Yamin. That's like that. But either way, we have 15 generations then from King Shaul. From King Shaul down, I would assume that took them all the way down to the times of when Divrei Yomim was written. And that's the reason why it's mentioned over here. So, I would assume one day, yeah.
It only lists four kids for Shaul, but we have to believe he had more, right?
He have to, because he had at least three wives that we know of, right? Concubines as well. So he probably had more wives and he probably had more kids. But the reason why we mention these four kids are you had the three that died with him, and yet Ishbal became the king after him, which makes sense.
What's your name? Michal is not...
Michal's not, and Merav also. Merav, the daughter, is also not mentioned. We are going to mention Michal, obviously, because she appears as one of the wives of David HaMelech.
Right.
But we're not going to mention him over here. We don't mention anything over here. Now, this Perek Tes, is a weird thing over here. It's sort of like a transition period, because we've been talking about, obviously, all the Shvatim, and then we went into Binyamin, and then all of a sudden we go into the Chol Yisrael Hisyachsu, all Bnei Yisrael, they registered themselves. Minam Ksuvam Asefer Malchi Yisrael, they're recorded in the book of the kings of Israel, Yehuda, as well as Yehuda, right? Haglu Lebavo B'malom. Yehuda was then exiled to Babel because they did a lot of sins. Now, this has no shaykhus to all the genealogy we did before. It also has no shaykhus to David HaMelech, which is the next line that we're going to get into. We're going to now talk about the people who returned together with Ezra. So for some reason, he throws this in here. So there's a bunch of reasons why. Some say, right, an idea behind it, this is brought down by Ramosha Eisenman, who is the author of the, you know, the other Divrei Yomim, the art scroll Divrei Yomim over there, said that it could be, and we learned this before, that the second base of Mikdash was going to be rebuilt when Ezra came with everybody else. It could have been that that second base of Mikdash was going to be the final base of Mikdash, and there would be nothing else after that. Now, was that, and truthfully, that's exactly what Ezra had planned. Ezra had planned originally that the Shekhinah would rest permanently among these people within the base of Mikdash itself, and that was going to be it. Ezra had three real elements, you could say, of what was going to be at the times of Mashiach. Number one, the kingship was going to the royal house of David HaMelech because Zerubbabel was the king at the time. He was the one that was in charge. That's number one, so it went down right over there. Number two, the Kuna Gedola went to Tzadok, and that also has to be there, meaning it goes straight back to Aaron HaKohen, obviously, but it went down from Yoshua ben Yotzadok and goes all the way back to Aaron straight. No questions about the lineage, and everybody knew who they were. And number three, the people as a whole were a very, very special people. Their lineage was impeccable. There were people that were very, very special when it came to that. So Ezra tried to make sure that everything was going to be through. Once he saw that it didn't work, he got upset, right? And unfortunately, that vision of what Mashiach was going to be and how everything was going to work is sort of like, okay, so it didn't work out. And because of that, we go back to David HaMelech and we say, so now let's talk about what could have been had we been like the people of David HaMelech, had we done what was absolutely going to be there. They were missing one major component, and that was Yerushalayim. The Kedushas Yerushalayim was not the same. That was a very, very major idea that was missing right over here. And Ezra's Sefer was really all about this. Like, I hate to put it this way, but like missed opportunities, the ability to have something and just not getting it. So look what it says. V'chol Yisrael, all Bnei Yisrael had their genealogy. They were written down on Sefer Malchi Yisrael. Yehuda Hagul above of Malom. Vayoshvim Arishonim Asher Bachuzasim Barim Yisrael HaKohanim Levim and Nesinim. The first people to sit down in their cities, the Yisraelim, the Kohanim Levim, and the Nesinim. Yerushalayim Yashvim Bnei Yehuda Bnei Binyamin Bnei Ephraim Menashe. In Yerushalayim there was Yehuda Binyamin Ephraim Menashe. Usai Ben Amir Ben Omri Ben Imri Ben Bani Min. Could be Binyamin, Bnei Peretz Ben Yehuda. That all came from right over there. Those were the sons of from Peretz Ben Yehuda. Minas Shiloni from Shiloh. Well, that was probably a reference to the other side of Yehuda over here. Most probably, it's referring to the what's it called? Shelah, the other son of Yehuda. Asoya Habachurubanov. Umi Bnei Zerach. Zerach was the other kid. Peretz Zerach and Shelah. Yeuel Vachem Sheish Melos Tishim. 609 together. Minei Binyamin. Hasalud Ben Meshulam Ben Hovadia Ben Asnua. Biyivnia Ben Yerocham. Beila Ben Uzi Ben Michri. Meshulam Ben Shvati Ben Ruul Ben Yivnia. Vachem Lesol Dosam Tshami Yosel Chamishim 956 Shisha. Kol Anoshim Rosh Yavisav. Rosh Yavisav Yavisav Vosem. All these were leaders, heads of their families, living in Yerushalayim itself. Amina Kohanim, Yedai Yoyorav Yochin, right? Those were three heads of families. Azari ben Chokiyah, ben Meshulam, ben Tzadok, ben Merayos, ben Achituv, Negid, Beis Elohim. He was the prince in his father's house. I guess you could say that's like a supervisor, that he was in charge and doing all those types of things. He tried to get everybody to go through, but either way, that's what it refers to. Adoya ben Yerocham, ben Pashko, ben Malki, Omasai, ben Adil, ben Yachaz, Yachzera, ben Meshulam, ben Meshilemis, ben Imer. Those are the old people. Vachem, Roshan, Leveis, Elvosam, their brothers, heads of the father's families, Elof, Shram, Yosef, Shishim, 1760, Gibori, Chayo, Melachas, Avodos, Beit Elohim. Shvatim, they were very strong in doing the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, making sure that everything was going to be the Min HaLevim. Shmaya ben Chashab ben Azrikam ben Chashavya, right, Mibnei Merari, that was from the sons of Merari. Bak Bakar, Cheresh, Vigalol. Galal is a little bit of a weird name. It usually means, you know, like garbage. Umatanya ben Micha ben Zichri ben Asav, Uvadya ben Shmaya ben Golo ben Yidus and Uverechya ben Asav ben Elkanah, Yoshe b'chatzri netofasi, Vasho'arim, and the gatekeepers that were used over there was Shalom v'Akub, v'Talmon, v'Achimon, v'Achiyam, Shalom v'Rosh, and their brother, right, Shalom, I guess v'Achim and all their brothers, Shalom was the head. That Hena b'Sharam v'Elam Yidracha, everybody over there, that at the gatekeepers, the gate of the king in the east, Hemashwan, those are the gatekeepers of Machnos ben Levi. Among all the Machnos ben Levi, you have Shalom ben Kore ben Yosef ben Korach, the Echov and all of his brothers, Leves Aviv HaKorchim, for all of his brothers, houses the Korach people. Amalach Zerah Shomrei Asipin Lo'ov Avosem Amachnei Hashem Shomrei Hamavo. Pinchas ben Elazar Nagid Hayalem. Pinchas ben Elazar was in charge of them. He was the supervisor. Hashemimo. Now, Lefanim Hashemimo. So before HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them when it came down to this over here. Now, who was Pinchas ben Elazar? Most probably, we're talking about the Pinchas from way before. Remember, Pinchas lived for a very, very long time. Radak, right, says he lived over 300 years, right? Ezra says, according to the what's called, the Reb Moshe Eisenman, it's possible that Ezra himself had Pinchas' post. Remember, we already said Ezra Sofer never took on the Kuna Gedola for himself. It may have been that he took over what Pinchas was, you know, the post of like being in charge of people, but that's what he was, and not anything more than that. It's possible that that's what he did over there. Zechariah ben Mishalemya, Shor Pesach al Olamoid. He was the gatekeeper for the opening of the Olamoid. Kulam Abruim Lashorim Basipim Masayim Vishne Masor. There were 212 people that were all working over here. Right, Hema b'chatrayim yisachsom. They were, I guess, they were the ones that they were registered according to their yichus. Hema yisad David u'shmol haroa b'munasom. They were the ones that David and Shmuel had established into their positions over here. So the Malbim says that the reason why it was 212 is because 30 levim served every day. 24 at the sentry stations. There were 24 sentry stations altogether, right? And that was there. And another 6 who took care of all the sacred vessels and the chavitin and all the day, you know, the minchas that they had to do altogether. So if that's true, then in 1 week you had 30 people working, 30 times 7, because you had 7 days, obviously, they were right there. That's 210 people altogether. And then there were 2 executives, one who oversaw all the sentries and one who oversaw the 6 other levim altogether, and that's 212. So the reason why 212 comes into play is, again, 30 per day, 30 times 7 is 210, and then you have the 2 people who are in charge of everybody, and those are the people who are right there. Now, that is that. It says, Behem ubeneim, they and their children, it says, Alash Arm, they were in charge of the Gezel Beis Hashem, the Beis Ol and Mishmaros, according to their different Mishmaros. La'ar Baruchas Yoshuarim, and all sides were the gatekeepers. Mizrach Yom Tzipon Venegba, east, west, north, south. Da'acheim, Bechatreim, their brothers were all over the different fields. Lavo, Leshivas Yom, they would come for 7 days. Me'isa Leisim Eila, together at certain times, together with these people. Kibamunahema, they were all doing with truth, trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abbas Gibor HaShorin, 4 people were strong gatekeepers, Hema Levim. Hayu Allah Shachis, they were in charge of the chambers, Allah Otsos, and this treasure house is Beis HaLakim, or the storage house is Beis HaLakim. Sfilos Beis HaLakim Yalinu, they slept around the Beis HaMikdash, Ki Aleim Yishmaris, because they were the people in charge. They Malteach LaBoker LaBoker, and they had the keys for every single morning, these are the Levim. Mehem Al Klei Avodah, some of them were in charge of the Kelim and the Avodah, Ki Mispar Yevim, Mispar Yotium, they took them out with number, and they put them back with number to make sure nothing was missing. Mehem, Mu'un Al-Kim, there were certain people that were in charge of the Kelim, Al-Kol Klei HaKadosh, Vala Souls, Vala Yayim, Vashem, Vala Vonah, some certain people were in charge of the Klei HaKadosh, in charge of the flour, the wine, the oil, the frankincense, and the Bezamim. Ibn Akwanim, Rokhei Hamir Kachazel Bezamim. Some of the sons of the Kwanim were in charge of putting together the Bezamim for any, you know, perfumes or spices, the mixture that they had to do. Matisya min Levim Hu Abachor, he was the Bachor, Lashulam Akorchi, the Amunah al Maisa Chavitim, he was very trustworthy on the Maisa Chavitim in regard to the oil. Ibn Akhazi min Achim, Al Lechem Amarach Lachim Shabbos, Shabbos, they prepared it every single Shabbos. Elam Meshorim, Rosh Elves Alavim, Balashachis, Peturim. These were the singers, the family heads of all the Levim in their chambers of what we call Peturim, because they did work every day and night, Aleim B'malacha, they did what they needed to do. But Elo Rashi Elvaz Alavim L'Soldosam Rashim Ela Yashu Yerushalayim, these heads lived in Yerushalayim doing everything they needed in Yerushalayim. Obegivon, Yashu Abegivon, Ye'iel, Shem Yishto Macha. So there was Ye'iel and his wife Macha. Obeno Abachor Avdon, V'tzur, V'kish, Ubal, V'ner, V'nadav. Ugidor, Va'achio, V'zichario, Umiklos. Umiklos holded his Shimon. V'afheim, Neged Achim, Yashu Bishlam, Mimachim. They all lived together in those areas by Givon. Okay, now, everything that we've done over there, that's regarding the Levim and everything, and now we're getting back to Shoal. Ner holy this Kish, Kish holy this Shoal, Shoal holy this Yehonasan, Vesmalki, Shua, Abinadav, as we said, and Eshbal. Now, that's interesting. Yeah, we had them. It just seems, okay. Well, Ben Yonasan, Marie Baal, we already said that the son of Yonasan was Mephibosheth. Marie Baal, holy this Micha, Ben Micha, Pisom, Bamelech, Vesachrea, Ba'achas, holy this Yarav, Yarav, holy this Olemes, that's as Maves, Vesimri, Vesimri, holy this Moto, Moto, holy this Bino, Froyo, Bino, Alasso, Bino, right, that says Bochur. Bochru. Oh no, Bochru is the name. The Ishmael, Usha'arya, Uvadya, Nachanan, Eleb, and Atzel. Those are the kids of Atzel. Now, this is the first time that you see the word Yishmael, right, given to a Jew within that area. We all know there's a Rebbe Yishmael. So a lot of people ask, how could Rebbe Yishmael be named after, you know, obviously Yishmael, the Arab brother of Yitzchak? But it's a mistake. Because Rebbe Yishmael was probably named after this Yishmael over here, who's mentioned in Divrei HaYamim. Apparently, the name was not a bad name. That after Yishmael did tshuva, Mistama, they were allowed to use the name, and they didn't have any problem with it. Esav never did tshuva, so they never used his name. But, I mean, they come close, because Shua is the same letters. But Yishmael is probably from right over here, so there's no real problem. The question is really why this guy ended up doing it. But that's that. Perek Yod. We're going to talk about the death now of King Shaul. Pelishim melchama b'Yisrael, the Pelishim waged war against Bnei Yisrael. V'yanos ish Yisrael minei Pelishim. The Bnei Yisrael ran away from the Pelishim. V'yiplu chalolim b'har Gilboa. Many corpses fell at Har Gilboa itself. V'yad b'ku Pelishim achrei Shaul. The Pelishim realized that King Shaul was there, and they caught up with where Shaul was, v'achrei banav, and after his kids. V'yakob Pelishim v'yonos 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 v'yonos. He was a very powerful man, Shaul HaMelech, and a head above everybody else, and extremely strong. But that many people was too much for him to handle. When the shooters, Bakashas, the people with bows and arrows, found him, he got sickened from the shooters, obviously. They were shooting one after the other. He couldn't survive it. That wasn't going to happen. Shaul said to the person carrying his weaponry, take out your sword and pierce me with it. I'm afraid that these Arelim are going to come. These Alubib, they're going to play with me. They're going to not treat me properly when it comes to this. Below Ava Nose Caleb, but his Nose Caleb did not want to do it. Kiyari Ma'ot, he's very afraid to do so, to touch his master, Shaul. So instead, Shaul committed suicide. Once the Nose Caleb saw that Shaul died, he also fell upon his sword and he died. So everybody there, everybody in his entire household died together. And that's not in his entire household. Obviously, Ishbal is still alive. Mephibosheth is still alive. Those are out there, and that's not a problem whatsoever. Obviously, there were more people that were going to be, but everybody involved in the battle ended up dying, and everybody else was pretty much gone. So it's really interesting over here. Now, at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph, it's very, very strange. The beginning of Shmuel Beis, it says that for some reason it seems like Shaul HaMelech was not the one to kill himself. Agir Amaleki comes to David HaMelech and says, let me tell you what just happened. He says, I saw Shaul HaMelech dying, and he said, I want you to kill me. So I killed him. Right? That's what he says. And then I ended up doing it, etc. And I ended his life. And he went in front of David HaMelech and bragged about it. He said, see, your enemy is gone. I took care of your enemy for you. Right? That's what he ended up saying. So David HaMelech was so angry at him for ending the life of Shaul HaMelech. Right? How dare you do such a thing? Right? That he ended up killing the Ger Amaleki. He killed the Ger Amaleki. Right? And some say because he was an actual Amaleki, but that, and made a dirge for Shaul HaMelech. He went ahead and said a whole song that does not make it into Tehillim. It's only in Shmuel Beis, and he sung about the greatness of a person like Shaul HaMelech, right? How of the mighty fallen. That was the idea of what it was supposed to be over there. So the idea is like that. Some say that the psukim are very pointed over here. It says, Vayanas ish Yisrael mipnei plishtim, and therefore vayibu chalolam b'har Gilboa. The worst thing that could happen in a war is when there's a desperate, chaotic flight of the soldiers. When the soldiers want to get out. When the soldiers see that it's ending, it's gone. There's nothing else you're going to be able to do over here. And they just run. They just run away. That makes it so much worse for everybody else. Shaul and his sons stood their ground. They could have run. They could have gotten away. And they refused to. They said, this is what we're supposed to do. And because everybody else left, therefore Shaul and all of his sons were killed over here. Right, Shaul fought with as much as he could, but there was no way he was going to take care of the archers. The archers were the worst that goes through there. But either way, unfortunately, Shaul HaMelech had died. Now, it says, by Yiru Kol Yisrael, all the people of Bnei Yisrael saw, Asher Be'emek, that were in the valley, Kinasu, that they had fled, B'chimesu Shaul Banav, that Shaul and his sons had died, by Yazu Aram, they left their cities, by Anusu, when they ran, by Vol Plishim Yeshu Bahem. And the Plishim came and started living in them. So all the people that were around those cities, unfortunately, lost all their lands, all their stuff that they had. And they did it because they ran away after seeing that the Jews had lost the war. Vayim Macharos, the very next day. The Plishim came to take away, you know, all the riches from the different corpses. They found Shaul and his kids, Noflim Bahar Gilboa, fallen by Har Gilboa. They didn't realize that he was dead. They didn't realize that he was there. They knew that the king was there, but they thought he had escaped. They didn't think they killed him. By Efshitu, they took off his clothing. By Yisus Rosho, and they carried his head, vest, Caleb, and all of his stuff. By Yishal Chobaris Plishim, they sent it over to the land of the Plishim, Savil of Asarat Sabam, to tell the news to their gods, because the gods wouldn't know on their own. That's Am as well as the people. By Yisumo as Caleb Beis Elohim, they took all of his weaponry, and they put it in the house of their god. That's Golgolto, Tukubat Beis Dagon. And his skull, they took, and they left it by Beis Dagon, the same area that they had had before, right, where they had that type of stuff. I'm sorry?
It's just crazy that he was decapitated.
A tzaddik of his level, yeah. Right, and a king of Klal Yisrael was decapitated and put out there. Well, Mistama, it was, unfortunately, a kapara for what he had done with all the magics that he had done with there. That's probably the idea behind it. It's sad, but unfortunately, it was something good for what ended up happening over here, regardless. The people of Yavesh Gilad saw exactly what it was going to be, and it was they came and took care of him because of that. But yes, it's absolutely crazy that happened. It says, Vayishmu kol Yavesh Gilad, the people of Yavesh Gilad heard his culture, also Plishim L'Shol, what the Plishim did to Shol, Vayakum kol Yishchayo, all the warriors got up, Vayisu as Gufas Shol, that's Gufos Banav, they took the body of Shol and the bodies of his kids, Vayvum Yavesh, they brought it to Yavesh Gilad. They buried their bones, Tachasa Elav Yavish, under the oak tree in Yavish. The Yatum Shiva Sam, they fasted for 7 days for touching the king of Israel. And Shaul died for the sin that he had done against Hashem al Dvar Hashem because he went up against the word of God. Asher Lo Shamar, he never kept it by not killing Amalek and not killing all the people. Gam Lishol, but Ov Lidrosh. And also, he asked the Ov. He never should have asked the Ov. He never should have gotten involved in the necromancer. His Svara was, Shaul HaMelech's Svara was, well, if you can't. You should be perfect with Hashem and not answer this stuff. But if you can't be answered through Urim Betumim, which he wasn't, because he killed Novir Kohanim, and he's not being answered through Nevuah, because the Nevi'im had all left him, Nasan and Gad had gone with David HaMelech, and it wasn't being answered through dreams, then you're allowed to do this necromancy. He was wrong, but that was a punishment. This is his punishment. L'darsh Hashem, he didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And therefore he died. Vayasev is Mulchel David ben Yishai. And the kingship ended up going to David ben Yishai. There's no reason to go into, well, Ishbal took over for the next 7 years, and David HaMelech was the king in Hebron for a little bit, and everything like that. There's no reason to be able to go into that and trying to say anything like that. There's just no reason at all. A couple things over here. Number one, why did Yavesh Gilad go to do it more than anybody else? And the pshat is that Yavesh Gilad, because they had, remember when the king of Ammon sent a message to them that you should serve me or we're going to kill all of you, we're going to knock out your eyes. Yavesh Gilad said, let's see if anybody will fight for us. They called over to Shaul HaMelech and said, will you fight for us? Shaul HaMelech said, 100%. He slaughtered a cow and chopped up the pieces, gave it over to all the parts of Israel, and he said, anybody who's not with me is going to die. The first thing Shaul HaMelech did was fought for Yavesh Gilad. So when Yavesh Gilad found out that Shaul HaMelech was decapitated and that his body was being used by the Beis Dagon, the first thing they did is they put their lives in their hands and they went ahead and did it. The Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised when the four nations are gathered from the four corners of the world are gathered in for Mashiach, the first people to have Tchias Mesim is Yavesh Gilad. Yavesh Gilad is going to be the first one. It's from Pirkei to Rebbe Eliezer. It's pretty cool. When they saw his body, it talks about Ela B'Yavesh, people darshan, B'Yavesh is not the correct term. We already know it was in Beis Dagon. So what's B'Yavesh? B'Yavesh means his body was dry. He did not decompose at all. There was no rot. There was no
even
anything.
Without a head.
He had a full, full body as if nothing had happened to him whatsoever. And they saw how great he was, that even Shaul HaMelech, even though he didn't have a head, that's the idea behind it. We do know about 5 sins that Shaul HaMelech did. Shmuel and Avi told him that he has to wait for him in order to bring Tor Korbanos, and he didn't do so. He asked the Kohen Gadol to bring the Aron and the Urim Betumim to fight when Yehonasan went ahead and fought, and he didn't wait. He ended up fighting even without asking the Urim Betumim. 3, he did not kill Agag, and obviously the Amalekim, the animals and stuff like that. 4, Nov Ira Kohanim, he had destroyed the entire city. 5, Ov itself, right? He talk to the Balas Ov itself. Number six, the Vilna Gaon says, is that he actually talked to the dead. After Shmuel Navi was brought up, he should have stopped immediately. But once he talked to the dead, that's also an Isser, and he did that as well. That was a very, very major sin as well. Who knows what would have been, if Shlomo Melech would have given in or whatever he would have done, who knows what would have happened. Maybe he would have remained and being like, I don't know, maybe he would have been in charge of the Rachel tribes. You know, Yehuda would be in charge of, you know, of Leah and Leah's tribes as well as Bilhah and Zilpah's. And Binyamin would have been in charge of Yosef, which is Ephraim and Manasseh. And Binyamin, who knows what would have been? Maybe he would have been the viceroy. Maybe he would have been the guy in charge of the government. Who knows what Shlomo Melech would have done? We don't know, right? But that was the possibility for what he was going to do. Now, notice that David HaMelech is written with a yud to connote that he is a great man. And whenever we want to say something is great, we add on a letter to his name. So David, throughout, we're going to see is going to have an added yud to his name. So it says that he comes to Kol Yisrael, David Chavrona. All of Bnei Yisrael gathered to David in Chavron. Lamor, they were saying, Kini Atzmachol B'sorcha Anachnu. We're your bone, we're your flesh. Right? So it says, Gam Tumol Gam Shol Shom, Gam B'yos Shol Melech, even yesterday, the day before, when Shaul was king, Atah Motzigam Avi Yisrael, you were the one in charge of the armies of Bnei Yisrael. V'yom Hashem Elokecha L'cha, Hashem said to you, Atah Tiras Ami Yisrael, you're going to be the shepherd, right, for our people of Israel. V'atah Tiyana Gid Al Ami Yisrael, you should be the leader. V'yavokul Zikne Yisrael L'melech, they all came to Chevron. V'yichuz on David Bris, B'chevron L'fnei Hashem, V'yim Shkol Es David L'melech Al Yisrael, Kidvar Hashem B'yad Shmuel. Right? They renewed it and they did everything that was completely when it came to stuff like this. Now, we have to understand something over here. David HaMelech never contested Ish-Baal, you know, Ish-Boshes' right to rule. As soon as Ish-Boshes was made king by Avner, he never contested it. He stayed in Yerushalayim, stayed in Hebron, I'm sorry, was the king over Yehuda, and that's all it was. That showed an unbelievable amount of anivus. But that's also why the people never went to go get David. They assumed that if David really wanted to become king, then David would come to them and say, all right, it's time for me to be king. I've been anointed. When he didn't do that, then they assumed that Ish-Baal had the right to be the next king. Ish-Boshes had the right to be the next king, right? And therefore, they didn't say anything. Nobody said anything whatsoever. That's why now, when they come to David HaMelech, they said, listen, we always wanted you to be king, right? We wanted that. We knew that you were the guy in charge. But at the end of the day, we weren't sure what was happening because of what happened with Avner and what he did with Ish-Baal, Ish-Boshes, right? So therefore, we didn't do anything whatsoever. And to that, David HaMelech said, no worries, guys. I'm not worried about that whatsoever. I understand, right? And obviously, it would have been easier had you guys come to me before, but he did not hold it against it. He did not bear a grudge. He said, that's acceptable. Vayelch David Uchol Yisrael Yerushalayim, they all went to Yerushalayim, Hu Yevus. That was a Jebusite city, the area of where the Yevusim were, Vesham Yevusi Yoshea Aretz, that's the Yevusi, the area where they kept right over there. Vayomer Yoshea Yevus LeDavid, the people of Yevus said to David, Lo Savalani, you're not allowed to come here. Right, and the reason why is because we had a bris, said the Yevus, and we had a bris together with Avram Avinu. These were the people who were the sons of the Chitim, who had lived there for years and years and years. And when Avram Avinu had used Maros Machpelah as a burial spot, the Yevusim, the Chitim, made a deal with them that nothing bad would happen. Ephron HaChais, right from Chais itself, they made a Shalom. They even erected statues, one of Yitzchak, one of Yaakov. One was lame and one was blind, to show that they're never going to fight against each other whatsoever. However, either the Torah came, and the Torah said you have to annihilate all seven nations, and therefore, because of that, that included the Chitim, and therefore it superseded Avram's bris, and it made it null and void. Or the Yevusim themselves attacked the Jews, and because they attacked the Jews and they abrogated the promise beforehand, the oath beforehand, therefore he could do it as well. He could go right back and do the exact same thing. That's the idea behind it. Now, Yerushalayim, right, is a very, very special place. It was already decided by David and Shmuel that this is going to be the site that was going to be made for the Beis Hamikdash. That's in Zvachim, Daf Nun Dalet.
Well, it was decided long before that, anyways, with Yaakov.
Well, it's funny. You're right, but not necessarily that it was going to be the place of the Beis Hamikdash. Beis Hamikdash, on purpose, does not have a makom mentioned in the Torah. In fact, in all of Tanakh, it doesn't say, right, a place where a Navi said, here's where you got to build it.
Well,
you had to darshan where to do it. And Binyamin brought another pasuk. He thought it was supposed to be in Binyamin, in prop Binyamin proper, not just a little, you know, area that belonged to Binyamin, but Binyamin proper. He had another mountain to put up the Beis HaMikdash. David decided we're going to put it somewhere else, and I don't want to say he was right, right? But his decision was accepted as the halacha, and it kept that way forever. But it's funny because it could be, in revisionist history, it could have been that Shaul HaMelech was going to pick another spot, and that spot would have been in, and that would have been the idea behind it. But it is crazy. Okay, so I said, Vayoku David is Mitzuda Sion. He destroyed Mitzuda of Sion. He ir David, and that is the city that is now known as the current Ir David. That's what he did. Vayomer David kol maki yevusi barishona. Anybody who destroys yevusim first, the Yalaroshi will be in charge. Ula Sarin will be the general. Vayal barishona Yoav ben Tsruya, his nephew Yoav, the son of Tsruya's sister, came by Yalarosh. He became the Rosh, and that is where Yoav came from. How did Yoav become the general of the war, the general of the army of David HaMelech? From this. By Yeshua David HaMelech, Bamtzad. Right? So David HaMelech ended up living in the forest, the fortress. Al-Kain Karlo Ir David, and that's why they call it Ir David. Va'yivyana Ir Misaviv Min Milo V'ad Saviv. He built the city around it, from the Milo, from the, you know, from the granaries, all the way around. Yoav Yechayez Shara Ir, and Yoav restored all the rest of the city together with his men. Va'yel David HaLov V'gadol. David HaMelech became greater and greater. V'Hashem Tzvakos Yimon. Hashem was with him, whatever he did, when it came to Psak Halacha, when it came to everything. And for that reason, we're going to mention Elo Rashi HaGibor HaShel David. These are the Gibor that David HaMelech had. Who strengthened him in his kingdom in Kol Yisrael, Lamlicho, Kedivar Hashem Yisrael, in order to keep him king according to the word of Hashem Yisrael. The Elam Yisparo Giborim, here the number of Giborim Hashem David. Yashavam ben Chachmoni, right? So Yashavam ben Chachmoni is pretty good. He's a guy who sat down among the people, but he's a very big Chacham. Rosh HaShalishim is the head of the captains, I guess you can call it. Who Oris Chanisal Sholoshmeos Chalav Hamachas. One time, his spear killed 300 people in one war. That's pretty impressive, to kill 300 people in one war. Ba'acharav Elazar ben Dodo Achoichi, Elazar the son of Dodo, the Achochite, who b'sholcha givorim, he was among those three mighty men. Hoyim David b'pas damim, he was with David in Pas Damim when the Plishtim Nesvusham, they gathered there for lemochama for war. Vati chalkas the son of Malayas Arim, there was a whole portion of the field that was filled with barley. Va'am nasim b'nei Plishtim, the people had all run away. Vayisatzu b'socha chalka, they stood together. Right in the middle of the portion, Vayatzilu, and they saved all of the food. The Akos Plishim, they destroyed the Plishim by Yosha Hashem Chua Gedolah. There was a huge Yeshua, because not only had they knocked back the Plishim, but they also saved the food so that the people would not starve. That's what they ended up doing over here. So it's pretty awesome that they were able to do this together. And the person who was by far the greatest among them was Elazar ben Dodo. Now, not only is this referring to prowess when it comes to their powers in war, it also refers to the fact that there were huge Talmidei Chachamim. So the Vilna Gaon says that they were tremendous warriors who had a tremendous amount of Torah scholarship over here, and that's what it's mentioned. And so Elazar was great, right? And so too Yashavam ben Chachmoni, as we called him, the yeshiva guy, who was the son of a Chacham, was great. All of them were like that. And then we get into the third one over here. There is Vayirdu Shloshim Min HaShloshim. Wait, did I miss one?
No, I don't think so.
Wait, I thought I did. Hold on. Where are the three people? We have Yashavim ben Chachmoni, Elazar ben Dodo. Right? Those are two of them. That's so funny. I don't remember. Oh, I messed up over here. I totally messed up. When it says the first man, when it says Yashavam ben Chachmoni, it literally means it was a man who sat among the assembly, the son of a strong man. That wasn't his actual name, right? The other two names are mentioned in Shmuel Beis, Adino Ha'ezoni and Shama, the son of Agi or Agi or whatever it is. Both of those, each one refers to him. The Yashavam ben Chachmoni refers to Adino. And the third one, the guy who's Huayam Davah Pasdamim, refers to Shammah the son of Azam. But the reason why it says it this way, right, is because all three of these are a reference to David HaMelech himself and how strong he was and what kind of a great man he was. So although obviously it's referring to somebody, right, these are really references also to what happened over here. Now the Medrash says a really cool story about what happened regarding this lentils over here. The Plishtim had come to steal or to burn down all the produce which they needed over here, which is a common tactic of the Plishtim. It caused people to surrender really quickly. David HaMelech sent soldiers out to guard the crops. This is the time when Shammah was able to stay there to make sure that the food was saved and everything was going to be okay. So he made sure that was going to happen. Now, Vayir Shloshim and Shloshim, out of those three men, there were officers of 30 chiefs, Rosh Alatzur al David Omar Sadulam, by the cave of Adulam, Umakna Plishim Khona by Emek Rafaim, they stayed by Emek Rafaim. Now that means that they were really close to Yerushalayim. If you know nowadays where Emek Rafaim is, Emek Rafaim is darn close to where Ir David was and by the city of Yerushalayim. Just a hop, skip, and a jump. It's a 10-minute walk, maybe a 15-minute walk from Emek Rafaim. You've been to Emek Rafaim before, right?
Yes.
Baka. It's a good place. So either way, but that's David Oz b'Metzuda. David then was in his fortress. The princes of the Pelishim were living in Beis Lechem at the time. He's of David by Omar. David had a desire, and he said, who could bring me water from the bore of Beis Lechem, Asher Bashar, that's right by the gate? Those three people broke through the camp of the Pelishim. They drew water from the bore of the Beis Lechem, Asher Bashar, right by the gate. They carried it, David, they brought it to David, but then David's like, wait, I don't want to drink this. And he poured it out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, hold on, guys, why in the world did you risk your lives just to bring me water? I didn't want you guys to just bring me water. That was my point. The point was that I want to take over Beis Lechem again. So he was upset at them for doing that, and that's why he poured it out to Hashem. I don't want to do this. Should I drink the blood of the men that died in battle? They brought with their souls. He didn't want to drink them. That's what the three Giborim were able to do. Chazal say, of course, it's a reference to something else entirely. It's a reference to the Torah that they had learned. He said, whoever can figure out this halacha, and these people broke through the gates, it means that they put their lives in their hands and they were moser nefesh in order to ask a certain rabbi who was living in that city what he thought about a certain subject. And they brought the halacha back to David, and David said, it is usher to use a halacha where a person gave up his life for, or a person was moser nefesh for, therefore we don't pask in that way, and he would not accept the psak halacha that was given to him by those three chachamim. That's the idea behind it. He saw tremendous devotion, and I really appreciate it, but regardless, that's not something that we have to do. Maybe he called it a rhetorical comment, or maybe he thought whatever it is, but you cannot risk your life for such a thing, and therefore he was upset at them for doing so. All right, we'll stop right there. We'll stop with Avishai.